Well, good evening and welcome to The Harvest. It is so good to have everybody here today as we join every week to hear what God is doing all across the world. We're so excited today to have with us another couple whom the Lord has called to go to the uttermost parts of the earth and make a difference in that part of the world. We're glad to have with us today Draper and Janaea. And so if you will, let's just, great to have you guys here. And if you will just welcome them as well. Draper and Janaea, thank you for joining us today on The Harvest.
Yeah, thank you so much, Pastor. We're excited to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about your life, Draper. First, let me start with you. Where did you grow up, and how did you come to know the Lord, and why are you in missions?
Yeah, so I became a Christian when I was 18. I said I was a Christian before all that in high school, but I was acting like I was on the team just because I had the jersey, but I really wasn't following the Lord. Hmm. At 18, I moved to Hawaii. And that's where I met him. I got baptized there. I had incredible experiences with him. And there was a moment where I just wanted to serve him. And I remember thinking, Lord, I just want to proclaim your name out. That's what I want to do. Hmm. I was also studying to become a pilot. And so the only logical thing that made sense in my head is like, maybe I can just preach to my passengers on the intercom over the plane. And so,
talk about a captive audience, huh?
Yeah.
Do you give them an ultimatum? Here we are at 30,000 feet up in the air, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. So I got plugged into a church and discipled, and the Lord started moving on my heart in missions, and especially towards Muslims. And there was an experience where I met a guy who was actually, he used to fight in the Gulf War for Iran. And he was an older man and started telling me how one day he heard Jesus talk to him from the sky. And then he converted. And then the Lord started using him to lay hands on the sick in this Islamic nation. And it just blew my mind. Like, wow, God is moving among Muslims. And what am I doing? So that's kind of a little bit of my story.
So that's what inspired you. Now, how did you and Janaea meet? And Janaea, maybe talk to me about your life story. In fact, where did you grow up, and how did you come to know the Lord, and why are you in missions?
So just briefly, I was raised as a pastor's kid with a dad who loved missions. And so we had missions conventions and missionaries speaking all the time. And for me, I always felt privileged because I, being the pastor's kid, I got to go out to lunch after the services and hear more stories than the church got to hear. For me, it was like, I felt, I don't know, that I was hearing more, and God was using that to inspire me. And for me, it was like, when people ask, what do you want to do when you grow up? Well, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard of, was to be a missionary. But God used that like childlike admiration for missions and molded that and discipled me in that, and used my parents and other people. They saw that interest and then just discipled me into that. And so as a kid, this is all I wanted to do. And this is what the Lord has allowed me to do and has called me through that. So, and then when Draper came back from Hawaii, my dad was the pastor of the church he started attending. So that's where we met.
Wow. And by the way, you've frozen up there, so I know you can do a little reset while we're talking, and the audio continues. So for those that are watching this, this may happen a few times, who knows, as we're going through this, but we've already anticipated that. And so now they know to get back on, and there you are, you're back live again. So that'll just help us to be to have some exciting little moments of frozen and unfrozen as we go through this. Well, that's really interesting, Janaea. As you're saying this about the missionaries, now we have missionaries come to our church as well. And what we do is we'll take them out after church sometimes, of course, and then hear those stories like you're talking about. I love the idea, though, that as we have an opportunity, whether it's sitting across from someone at a meal or whatever the case may be, that it's not an official ministry, set aside ministry time, like you're having a church service or like you're preaching a message or something like that, is as we go, sort of conversations that we have with people and interactions that we have with people, that we never know what impact we're going to have in someone's life. as we just do life together. And I think that's so important for us to pay attention to, those that are watching this broadcast, that you may be having a conversation with someone and sharing an experience with someone, a young child or a teenager or whatever the case may be, where it sticks with them and it speaks to them, and it makes them move in a direction of saying, that's what I want to do, whether it be a missionary or whether it be you know, anything else that is involved in missions work. You're frozen up again. So I want to keep that in mind. I don't know, Janae, did you want to maybe speak to that, or maybe Draper, as to, you know, how that maybe impacted your life? I know you've already fleshed that out a little bit, but
I think one of the biggest things is, I mean, even as we're on itineration right now, we are happy and filled with joy when we get the opportunity to serve in any capacity. So whether that is going to a church service or, you know, meeting with someone for a meal, like you said, we never know the conversations we'll have, whether you said with a child or with somebody, it could be anything. God could use anything. So for us, that's also part of what we do, is being what somebody was for me, for other people.
Something else too that I find interesting is they say statistically most missionaries who have felt a call to the field was because of another missionary.
Yes. Mm.
And so there's something infectious happening. And so if a missionary can do that, how much more can someone who is filled with God's Spirit in your church, who's listening right now, you can be that person in their life that speaks Christ into them and have a moment where they want, maybe they want to be a missionary, or maybe they just want Christ in you.
Yeah,
I love that. And you said you can be an influence. I'm going to take it even one step further to say, based on the mandate that Christ has given us, we must be an influence.
Yeah,
it's not really an option as much as it is saying, this is a mandate. This is a directive from our commander in chief, and I don't know how you escape that. You know, I think it's getting to the point right now, you guys, where we must press in. We must share the gospel. We must make a difference. Anymore, we've, I think, approached this as an option, as one of the things that we do, and we kind of compartmentalize those things in our lives. Like, okay, today I'm going to witness, and tomorrow I'm going to work, and the next day I'm going to go watch a baseball game. But man, it should be a lifestyle, right? You guys speak into that for just a moment.
Yeah. I mean, while we are on the field, when we are out in community, especially a Muslim land, people are always watching you, how you act, what you talk about, what you even wear.
Yeah.
And most Muslims in these countries will see an American and they'll think Hollywood, and they'll picture Madonna wearing a cross and her clothing.
And that's a Christian.
That's a Christian. And so right off the bat, we have to take all that down and show them really what Christ is. Mm-hmm. Like, this is who he is. We need to be clothed in kindness and modesty and love and truth and passion, and just our actions as well. Mm-hmm. As we go out on the streets, what we're doing with our kids and the people we talk to.
And the conversations we have.
The conversations, and they're watching, and they're, you know, we always want Christ in us. And that's my hope, is Christ will be. I just said to my wife the other day, I just want to walk in a room and Christ is in me. It's not me. It's people just say Jesus is in him, and they walk away knowing Jesus. Yeah.
How do people get to that point? How can we get to that point as a body of Christ, to where it's not an event, but it's a lifestyle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think there's many things. Well, with our organization, Live Dead, they're all about this concept in John 15, abiding. You abide in Christ and you will bear much fruit. Yeah. And so it's more than your 2-hour Bible study in the morning with your coffee. It's a lifestyle. It's all day. And I think for me, what the Lord's been really moving on my heart is a recognition that I'm a sinful and broken man, and I'm weak, and I need Christ. I need him every day to guide me, to shepherd me, to help me repent of things in my heart or mind that come up. And then I walk out in faith and love towards other. And then I just see, like, he loves us. Like, he loves us, and he's given us his Spirit. And that's motivating to me. Mm-hmm. And I want to go then and love other people and mm-hmm. be kind to them and give myself up for them. Mm-hmm. And so it's a daily thing. I don't know if you have.
Yeah, I would say something similar, like make your faith an everyday faith. And then as your faith is an everyday faith, and then it's an all day faith, then the Lord is with you and in you, and whatever you treasure comes out of your mouth. Jesus said that. And so if you treasure Christ and you prioritize him and his kingdom in your day, practically, I mean, even with, we have 2 kids, 3 and 1, how am I sharing Christ with them? Mm. You know, what am I allowing into their minds and hearts? How, what are we talking about at the dinner table? Those kinds of things. If I'm doing that with them, it makes it easier because it's already on my mouth all day. Mm. So when somebody, a stranger or somebody I meet or a friend who may not follow Christ, well, it's already on my mouth with my children, with my husband and whatnot. It makes it easier to come out with other people as well.
And by the way, when you slip out every once in a while, Janaea, that means you're taking care of your little 3-year-old over there. So it's not that you're doing anything weird. It's just you're taking care of your 3-year-old, which is just outside of our camera shot. You got a little 3-year-old and a little 1-year-old. The 1-year-old sleeping in a nursery right now, and the 3-year-old just needs to be tended to every so often. So that's perfectly fine. What were you going to say, Draper? I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Another thing I was going to say too, and this is something the Lord's been speaking to me, is what you long for and how you see the end of things really will affect your day today. And so Christ is coming back in glory and judgment and hope and life. And that motivates me today for my own devotional walk and what I put my mind on, and also motivates me in my evangelism to Muslims, which is interesting because they believe Jesus is coming back too.
Yeah, they believe in a judgment day too.
They believe in a judgment of Jesus coming back.
So that's that's a point of commonality that you can take and begin to explain the gospel from that point, right?
Amen.
Definitely.
And so it's a point of contact, and it motivates us to listen. There's a day where Christ will come back and the whole universe will change. Are you ready for that day? Let me share with you about this. And so it's a motivating factor. And then, you know, the scriptures say that the gospel will be preached and then the end will come. And so, I mean, this is our mandate to preach the gospel and then the end will come.
Well, with that said, how soon do you think we are? I know we're not supposed to put a time or a day or an hour to it, but in the big picture, prophetically, where do you think we are in the prophetic timeline?
Yeah, I mean, Peter, in his timeline, when the Holy Spirit came, he said, we are in the end times, right there from Joel 2. So I think we're still in the end times. Are we in the end of the end times is the question.
Yeah.
I do think maybe this, everything with the coronavirus and all that, it could just be a drop in the bucket that what may take place soon. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know the end. I don't know when it's going to be. I just want Christ to come back, and I want my heart to be set on that day he comes back, because everything will change. And I want my Muslim brothers and sisters to be ready for that day. I had 2 friends in the place we were at in the Arab world. And one of my prayers was often, Lord, I want to sip the cup of communion with them in heaven someday. Please, you save them so I can sit next to them at the banquet in Isaiah, where we will see Yahweh and worship for him forever. And may they sip the cup of communion with me. And so that's our prayer.
Amen. You said a little bit ago about abiding in the Lord. Mm-hmm. That tends to be a little bit of a spiritual word, you know, it rolls off our tongues and I think we know what that means. Can you flesh that out a little bit more of what abiding in the Lord means? What does that look like in the practical daily sense?
You can share as just like a dad and whatnot, and I can share as a mom.
What has looked like
for me over the seasons.
Practically, I believe abiding is spending extravagant, beautiful time with the Lord in word and reading your word in worship and in prayer. And so seasonally, that's going to look different. We're parents of toddlers, and we got to wake up before they wake up, or we're not getting any of that. But the goal is to try to spend that with the Lord Jesus throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I don't have that in the morning. So I will have a passage, a chapter I can read, and then I want to try to meditate, think about it, mull it over in my mind throughout the day and pray it out. And I'm not perfect at it. It's difficult. And the world is fighting for our attention. I think another way too, that I've been convicted of and learning about is, I think abiding is also loving the people around you. Cause Jesus says, you love those around us. Like, they will know you by your love. And to love him is to love others. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm, you know, not being good with my wife or my kids or those in my church sitting next to me on the chairs, and I'm gossiping, whatever, that's not abiding in Christ. And so it's thinking about the others throughout our day in our life.
Mm-hmm. And I think practically too, before I had kids, I always liked to have my time every morning and whatnot. And then I became a mom and I was like, how do I do this? I'm up all night with the babies and I can't, you know. And throughout, you know, the past couple of years, the Lord has shown me that every season's different, but if I can choose to be in my day and look for moments with him. So if I'm standing and washing dishes, can I spend that moment with him? Can I say a prayer? Can I have a card on the windowsill where I'm memorizing a scripture? Or, you know, when I'm changing my son's diaper, can I, you know, pray over him or something like that? It's little things that you are looking for connection with the Father throughout your day.
Sure.
And so I think that's the, yes, you want the extravagant time. I long for that. I love when I have a morning where they're sleeping in and I get that time, but then some days you don't. And so it's like, okay, Lord, I'm still going to seek after you, just as you want connection with a spouse or connection with a friend throughout your day. What are we doing to say, oh, this is a couple minutes where I can pray, or this is a moment where I can memorize scripture? Are we looking for him and ways to we abiding with him throughout our day? And it doesn't have to be legalistic or anything like that, just desire.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wherever your treasure is, your heart will also be, the idea of that. You'd said something, Draper, a moment ago too, about meditating on a particular scripture and just kind of letting that wash over you. What's the benefit of that? How come we need to do that? What's going on with God's word that makes that so important?
Yeah. So our son, his first name is Indiana, like Indiana Jones, and his middle name is Asher, which means in Hebrew means happy or fortunate. So Psalm 1 says, Asher is the man who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. So when you meditate, it actually makes you happy. So I believe, and then he gives this illustration of a tree of righteousness that's by the stream and it bears fruit in its season. There's probably connections there with Jesus being the vine and we bear fruit as we abide. So I think for me, an example of what can happen is I've been reading in Kings, you know, the stories of the Kings, and I was meditating on a passage and just meditating on the entire, like the book in general and the theme. Story, yeah. And I had a family member come up and just start opening up their heart to me about something. And then instantly all this, the Kings passages came in my head. And I was like, and I was able to minister out of what I just have been meditating and dwelling on, seeing how there was kings that sought the Lord and kings that didn't. And it was just cool. And it was already sitting in my heart. And I already knew the book of Kings before that, but it was presently sitting in my heart and I was able to take it out and minister in that moment. And this just happened like a week ago. So it was really cool.
And you wouldn't be able to do that if you hadn't meditated on it. Right. You'd be able to extract that or dip into that well that was in that the Lord inserted in you, that poured into you from his word. Janae, you said something too about you're washing dishes and stuff like that and you're having these moments. And there may be some young mothers that are watching that are maybe kind of feeling overwhelmed, maybe unqualified, maybe unworthy, maybe insecure, different things that are going on in their life right now, that they just are looking around saying, why am I doing what I'm doing here? Am I making any difference? What would you say to some young ladies who are striving to serve the Lord, but at the same time are being pulled in so many different directions and feeling like that they're just spread out so thin that they're not making a difference? Speak to them as one person that is in that season of life right now.
Yes. I have been thinking about this a lot, and I'm excited to share because I'm so passionate about young moms connecting with Christ. Wow. He is our life, our source, our strength. He is able to be depended on. And so as a young mom, I have to learn that I can't do it all. I can't take care of all the things that need to be taken care of. But what I can do is I can seek first the kingdom of God. So make him a priority, whatever that means. If it means that I'm nursing a baby and I'm praying or I'm doing different things, I want to seek him. And then, of course, your children are a priority. They're going to ask for your attention, whether you have, you know, the time or not.
So, for example, right now, as Draper goes off, the timing was great.
And so I firmly believe that the Lord takes care of the mothers who are with their young. Scripture talks about that. And so if you're seeking his kingdom, first off, he gave you those children. They are your disciples.
Yeah.
And so pour into them, whatever you're receiving from the Lord, give to them, raise them up in the Lord, disciple them. They are your disciples. And then as the Lord, gives you confidence and strength, depend on him. He is dependable. So if you're overwhelmed, like I am every day, most days, say, Father, I'm overwhelmed. I need your help. You can come to him and he wants to help you. So have that just in your mind that the Lord wants to help and he's ready to help. And then prioritize him and then just ask him, Lord, what do you want my priorities of this season to be? Or this, even just forget the season. What do you want the priority of the day to be? Say, Lord, I have these in my mind that need to get done today, but I want your will to be done. So I want to be prudent and plan for the day or whatever, but I also want your will to be done. And so the Lord will guide you. The Lord will tell you, you know what? You're saying yes to too many things, or you're not saying yes to this, and you should be saying yes to this and no to this. And sure.
Well, you just froze up, and are you still there? Hello?
You cut out. I'm so sorry.
Okay, so you've frozen up, so now we can hear you again.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear us?
We can hear you, but we just can't see you.
Okay.
But
Are we good now?
There you go. There you are now. You're back.
Great.
So as women, as young mothers, and really fathers at the same time, you're kind of in this season in life where you've got, you know, calling on your life, you're working on top of that. Let's go to another country, right? Let's pull up stakes and just totally change things. But the fact remains is that children are children, and this time in your life, this season in your life can be very demanding. By the way, I want to ask you guys, if you have some sort of email or website or something like that that we can post, there'll be a way to connect with Janaea and Draper. We'll put it on the bottom of the screen here for you guys, anybody that would be interested in maybe reaching out and saying, man, I'm just overwhelmed right now, and I'd sure love to connect with you, Janaea, and maybe we can kind of encourage one another here. Maybe there's some young mothers that are watching that you feel a little overwhelmed right now, and just know you're not alone. And Janaea is right there with you, and maybe she can, you can connect with each other on that.
Please.
Absolutely. And in fact, as we, I know we haven't even really talked about what the Lord has laid on y'all's heart. right now we're hearing you guys, but we're only seeing, there you go. We're back to seeing your name and then we're seeing your faces. So it's keeping things interesting. But I know the Lord has called you to the Arab world, and you're going to another portion of the Arab world. Exactly what is it that you're going to be doing as you go to this new assignment? Let's take a few moments here.
Yeah, definitely. I'll probably, if you freeze up, I'll go and stop the video so that it gets a little faster. So we were 3 years in the Arab world training to plant churches. That's our heart and our goal. We want to plant churches and make disciples. Mm-hmm. We believe that churches are it's the model that Paul the apostle did. He went in, raised up leaders, planted churches. They are beacons of light to dark communities. in a lot of these places, when a Muslim becomes a believer, their entire community rejects them. Mm-hmm. How much better than if we have a family of Christ ready to receive them, yes, and wow, disciple them and send them out. Mm-hmm. So we trained in the Arab world, in the North Africa region, and we ministered there. And the goal was then to launch out to an area that had significant need. So there's not a lot of missionaries, churches, Christian presence, resources. We want to go in and be that Christian presence and light. Mm-hmm. And so in our training, one of the things we did, and our ministry as well there, it was media outreach. So we would go use Facebook and Google to interact with Muslims online in order to meet up, in order to meet up with in face-to-face conversations. Can you guys still hear us?
Sure. Yes.
Cool. So just kind of an example of that, we got into a conversation with a gal online, and she was a Muslim that became a believer. And it turned into a conversation on the phone where we would have Bible studies with her on the phone. You can't always meet up in person because of security reasons. And her daughters, or her, she had three kids, and one of them was very Islamic. The other one started to listen in on the conversation that her mom would have and started to believe. Mm. And then it actually started affecting how she acted at school to her Islamic teachers. She was acting like Christ. And then the littlest one recently had a dream of Jesus showing up in white and sharing with him his love and truth. And then it was funny because Jesus even had, they're called shibshibs, like the sandals that you wear in this particular Arab culture. He was wearing them.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And the little girl believes now. And so, you know, this is awesome because it's like a family almost. Yeah. And, but we want more of these to happen.
Yeah.
And so we can bring them together and create churches. And so we want to go do this kind of same model tool, ministry tool, in another Islamic nation in North Africa nearby.
Anybody,
and so that's kind of a nutshell.
Sure. Anybody that wants to know any more information about this and maybe wants to pray with them, get on their prayer team, support them in some way, you could communicate with them in some way. Again, we're going to put their link below here on the screen for you to reach out to them. And we're going to have to wrap this up here. Believe it or not, we've spent about 30 minutes here together. We have just a few more minutes together. But what I'd like for you to do is, as we close this out, and Janae, I really feel like that maybe the Lord is impressing on me here to have you pray for some young mothers that are viewing here today, or maybe some folks that know some young mothers. And if you know some young mothers and maybe you feel like this would be a great way to connect with them, maybe you can share this link on your Facebook page with others that maybe you know. And then they maybe watch this and maybe reach out to Janae. But Janae, I'd like you to spend a little bit of moment here to lead us in prayer. And let's pray for, I mean, certainly the Lord is, I'm going to pray for you guys, by the way, after you lead us in prayer, that the Lord will give you favor as you go to this new part of the world and set up camp there to make a difference. But I really feel like that right now there's some young mothers that are watching that need some encouragement. And Janae, you're right there. You know, you're praying from that experience. You're right there in that season of life. Would you pray for the young mothers here today, and maybe even young fathers that are wanting to serve the Lord, but there's so much demand right now in their life with these toddlers and just all the stuff that's going on. And I'll just let the Holy Spirit lead you as you pray. But I'd like for everyone, if you will, as you're watching right now, to bow your heads. And Janae, would you lead us all in prayer right now?
Sure. Father, I thank you that you created the family unit. You had the idea of marriage, of children, of being fruitful and multiplying, Lord. And I just thank you for this season of life that many find it overwhelming, including in myself. But Lord, it is a good season. It is a season that you ask us to find contentment in, that we can be content in the things that you have given us, the resources you have given us, the children you have given us, and the task that you have called us to. God, I pray that you would frame our mindsets, young mothers' mindsets, fathers' mindsets, that our children are our disciples, that they are a part of the kingdom that you are asking us to pour into day in and day out. Lord, I pray that you would make us faithful witnesses, daily faithful witnesses that rely on your grace. We're not going to get it perfect. We're not going to be perfect parents. We can let go of that and we can rest on your grace, that we can live day by day seeking your kingdom first, that you would add everything. All of our needs will be supplied when we seek you, when we do what you're calling us to do. And there is always enough time to do what you're asking us to do. Mm-hmm. And Lord, when we are spent, when we have no strength, you are our strength. You are our strength and our weakness. So God, I pray that you would teach us to depend on you. You would teach us to seek you, and that our children would see us depending on you, so they too can see that they can depend on you, Lord Jesus. That's what it's about. And then as our children see us depending on you, Lord, our friends and our family see us depending on you. Lord, the people in our community see us depending on you, and they realize they too can depend on you. God, I pray for the word that keeps coming to my mind is just hospitality. God, I pray that as young mothers and fathers and homes, God, you've given us all homes. Would we grow in the area of hospitality, God, because we can bring people in and we can share Christ with them too. We may not be able to go overseas, and some may. You may call some young mothers to go overseas, and God, I pray that you would give them the courage to do that too. But God, I also pray for those that you have called to stay, that they would have the courage to open their homes to the lost, that you would bring Muslims into their home that they can share with, that they don't have to have a degree in all these things, Lord. They can just love you and share you with anybody and everybody, and they can depend on you, Jesus. And so, God, I pray for those things. I pray for courage, dependency, and hospitality, God, that you would encourage mothers, that they are so vital to the church as they are raising their young and as they are letting people into their homes and their hearts, Lord Jesus. I pray this. I pray for more and more moms and fathers and children who are seeking after your great commission, your kingdom. And Lord, would you return soon? We ask for your return in Jesus' name.
Yes. And Lord, we pray also as we continue here for Draper and Janaea and their children, Lord, as they are going into this new area of ministry in a new part of the world. Lord, I pray that you go before them, give them favor. Lord, give them opportunities that you've already pre-assigned for them, for families that need to hear about you, need to know about you. You've already prepared their heart. You're going to direct them and intersect their lives with this precious couple. And I pray, God, that you'd protect them and help them, Lord God, to plant many seeds and water many seeds. And then, Lord, may you bring the increase. Thank you, Lord God, for their hearts for you. Lord, we're just so touched right now that you would call people and that they would respond. And this family is responding in obedience to go to the othermost parts of the earth to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, there's those that are viewing here today that maybe they're being inspired by hearing this. And they may not be called to another part of the world, but they certainly, all of us are called to our communities where you've placed us. And I pray, God, that you would call us all to the harvest, to the mission field, that we wouldn't consider it an option, but that would be a mandate, that we'd understand that it's a command that you have put on all of us as sons and daughters of the Most High God to be the salt and light to our communities and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with all that we come in contact with. Lord, don't let it be an event for any of us. Let it be a lifestyle for all of us. And we thank you, Lord God, for this time that we've had together. And we thank you, Jesus, that you're going to use this to bring us to a place in you that you need us to be. And we ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, listen, thank you so much, Draper and Janaea, for joining us today and being part of this time together. And for your children, your son especially, who's made a cameo appearance with us today, not necessarily physically, but he's drawing us away to wonder what in the world is going on with him. But I'm sure he's good. And I thank you for spending some time with us here today. If again, you have any interest in knowing more about what the In Chefs are doing and the Lord has called them to, please feel free to reach out to them. The website, their contact information is at the bottom of the screen. Or you can leave a comment to this broadcast. If you feel like this would be something that others would be interested in being part of too, please share this with others that you know on your Facebook list of friends. Thank you so much again, Draper and Janaea, for joining us today. God bless you. God bless your ministry, and God bless you as you go out from this place into the harvest. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time on The Harvest.